32. All right. Starting in verse 28. Everybody got it? Everybody got the Bibles, the cell phones, iPads, Androids? Let's get it out. Saying, verse 28, did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That's what the officials, the Jewish council, as we've been going through, were saying to the apostles, because they had completely rebelled against their authority. They would not stop preaching the word of God. Amen? Amen. They had been warned, and this warning is escalating now. Amen? It's getting worse and worse. But it doesn't change anything, because the apostles' minds are made up. Their hearts are fixed. Old school. Amen? We're going to do what the Lord say do. I like that. I like that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Oof. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand. Amen. Amen. To be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Amen. And in verse 32 says this. And we are his, say it with me, witnesses. Then say this with me. Of these things. And so also, so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to him, to them that obey him. Amen. And so also, so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Say with me, facing or dismissing the truth. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Facing or dismissing. Dealing with it or completely ignoring it? Huh? Taking it in or completely and totally neglecting it? Mm-hmm. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses. That is the Greek word martus. Martus. Amen? I just saw something. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Martus is a witness, one who has information or knowledge of something, and hence one who can give information, bring to light, or confirm something. Amen? Acts 1, 1 and 2 says this. Amen? We are in the book of Acts. Luke is writing. He wrote Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. Amen? And Acts 1 and 2, he says this. The first verse. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Theophilus, I told you everything. What did I tell you? I told you that these things. Amen? You're witnesses to these things. Luke 1 and 1, Amplified Version. Since, as is well known, everybody knows this. Many have undertaken to compile an orderly account of the things. There it is again. These things. Amen? Which have been fulfilled among us by who? By God. Second verse. Exactly as they were handed down to us by those with personal experience. Witnesses. Of what? The things that have been fulfilled. Huh? How? Among us. By God. Uh-huh. Personal experience. Witnesses. Who saw these things. Amen. Who from the beginning of Christ's ministry were, again, eyewitnesses. And ministers of the word. That is, of the teaching concerning salvation through faith in Christ. Amen. They were witnesses of this. It seemed fitting for me as well. And so I have decided, after having carefully searched out and investigated all the events accurately. Luke is saying, I know what I'm talking about. But this thing is proven. From when? From the very beginning, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus. For what purpose? So that you may know the exact truth. About what? There it is again. These things. These things. The things you have been taught. What is that? The things that we've been taught? The history and the doctrine of the faith. Witnesses. That's to bear witness, to testify, to give evidence of, to confirm something. Amen? Just this week, a member gave me a text or sent me a text and it said, we have just witnessed the robbery, Pastor. What happened? They were in Starbucks getting some coffee. A young lady had her laptop out. Three dudes came in, noticed the laptop, went to the bathroom, had a little meeting, came out of the bathroom, ran by her, snatched her laptop off the table while she was working, and ran out the door. That's what happened. The member that texted me left soon after the robbery happened. But they could have been a witness. Right? They could have been called as a witness of the crime because they saw it. And they saw it with their own eyes. Now, this member was also with another family member of theirs. And they saw it. That makes two what? Good class. Two witnesses. Now, if that member came to church today and started telling everybody what they saw that happened in Starbucks, and then I got mad as the authority, quote unquote, of the church, and started to threaten them because they were filling the church with this information of the things that they had witnessed, that they saw, then that would become strange. You'd be like, well, Pastor, what's the problem with them telling us the truth? You kidding me? What's the issue, Pastor? Why are you tripping? They're just telling us what happened. Why is this the problem? They just witnessed something. Why is it important for the authority to want to suppress the information? You listening? Got your attention? Why does it bother me so much? Now, I mentioned that they had another family member, so they were not alone, and that family member was also a witness to the same crime. So what happens here when you got more than one witness? That means you've got confirmation. You can back up the story. We know now. A couple of folks saw what you did. Okay? All right. Deuteronomy 19:15, real quick. Says this, you must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So for someone to want to suppress an actual historic event, that means they're doing it for a reason. Why don't they want to believe the truth? What's the issue? Now, back to the Bible, something that's much bigger than a robbery at Starbucks. The high priest have successfully carried out their plan to kill Jesus. But Jesus gets up on the third day, and the priests don't want to believe it. They don't want anybody else to believe it. They do everything they can to suppress it. They have a problem, though. The problem is there are these witnesses. These witnesses keep showing up And they won't shut up. They won't be quiet. Back to Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of what? These things. What are these things? Well, Jesus said this. Stay with me. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power and the ability, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my what? Witnesses. What does that mean? In parentheses or bracket, it says to tell people about me. Both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. They are doing just what Jesus said that they would do. Just what they had planned for them to do. Tell the folks about me. That's the these things. And we're going to break that down, what that means. The Holy Spirit's going to bring to your memory everything I said, everything I did, and you're going to end up telling everybody without fear. You're going to say it. You're going to speak it. You're going to get out there and tell folks these things. Amen? Acts 10:39-41. Just setting it up. Acts 10:39-41. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to what? Appear. Woo-hoo. Lots of folks saw him. Not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We are those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Huh? You got witnesses. You killed him, but we just had tea and cookies. So what you did didn't work. He's alive. Jesus is alive. We know that. Amen? During what time frame here, Pastor? Acts 1:21-22. So now we must choose a replacement. Judas is dead. Remember the one that betrayed Jesus? He's dead, and now they've got to replace him. Judas is dead. From among the men. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. Verse 22. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken up from us, whoever is chosen will join us as a what? Witness of Jesus' resurrection. So the apostles were chosen to tell these things. The confirmation, what are these things? Let's start to break that down. First thing. The confirmation that Jesus is God, not just a man. Amen. Let's start there. Matthew 3:16-17. I hope you're writing all this down. Okay? Because this is your backup. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Things like Jesus is God. Not just a man. This is the beginning of his ministry. John the Baptist didn't want to baptize. I can't even tie your shoelaces. Jesus said, no, we got to go ahead and fulfill everything. Trust me, everything's in order. Amen. He puts Jesus in the water, baptized in the water, and what we have there is the Son in the water. Then the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Then we have the Father speaking with his voice saying, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. There's the Holy Trinity. They are one. And they saw this. They saw this. Who is that talking? Where's that bird coming from? What's going on? Who is this Jesus? Okay, wait a minute. Why is John the Baptist tripping off of this man? He was just the next guy in line. Who is this Jesus? And they saw him. Confirming the deity, the God-man, Jesus Christ. The disciples said, listen, you want us to shut up? We can't shut up about that. Are you crazy? That doesn't even make sense. 2 Peter 1:16. Oh, I love this. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, stories, made up stuff. When we made known to you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What are they talking about? The Mount of Transfiguration. The apostle said, we know he's God. We saw him glorified. We saw him in his glorified form. He was talking to people that should be dead. Elijah and Moses, having a conversation with him. And we saw him just light up. He turned bright light. We saw him in his glorified form. He transformed right before our eyes. And then we heard again. God speaking. Don't listen to these other two that he's talking about. Listen to Jesus. This is my son. Amen. Again, in whom I'm well pleased. He's confirming who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. We can't be silent about that. John 14, 8 and 9. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. He's talking to Jesus. And we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you the Father when you're looking at God? Ooh, have you ever seen anybody else act like me, Philip? Have you ever seen anybody else do the things I've done, Philip? Huh? Why are you asking me to show you God? Look, have you ever seen any of this stuff happen before? Can't you tell who I am? Don't you know who I am? Huh? Take it in. The point is that they saw and heard. There were witnesses to the things that were spoken. There were things to the things that were done. It was obvious of who he was. And then there's the miracle. Eyewitness miracles. They were in this ship. And a storm broke out. And Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples are panicking. Don't you know we're going to get killed? We can't handle the storm. Somebody go get Jesus. We're going to die. They're going, wait, Jesus, what's wrong? You don't like the weather? Jesus, we're going to perish. And they saw Jesus get up and say, storm, peace. Now, let me flip it on you. They're not just witnesses. You and I are witnesses. Anybody had any storms? Anybody don't know how you got from one place to the other? Huh? Anybody else been a witness to when Jesus just speaks to your situation? You don't know how you got through, but Jesus just said, no, that's enough of that. Peace. They're not the only witnesses. You and I are witnesses. I was dealing with some folks. I was dealing with some situations. I was dealing with, come on, somebody. Huh? How many times God got you out of trouble? I mean, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, and God just showed up and brought you out. You don't know how you got out. I don't know what happened. All I know is Jesus showed up, and one day, it was over. I moved to the next level. I done gone to the other side. I don't know how he did it, but obviously Jesus spoke. He said, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Come on. There was a woman with the issue of blood. Huh? She was in a condition. She had an issue of blood and nobody knew what to do. They couldn't help her. And she said, if I could just get my pinky on the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And when she touched Jesus because of her faith, the power went out of him. He said, who touched me? And then Jesus, there's a crowd around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's around here saying, no. The power went out of me. Somebody touched me. Somebody believed that I could do something. And somebody believed that I can answer prayer. Somebody believed that if they just hold on, if they just trust in me and believe in me, something would happen. And the power went out of me. I know somebody touched me. Huh? What about the two fish and the five loaves of bread? They saw that. They saw that. How are we going to feed all these people? They were witnesses to when Jesus fed thousands of people. They only had two fishes and five loaves of bread. That's not enough food to feed. How many people ever had not enough money to make it through the month?
All the time.
And you're seeing God just stretch it. And stretch it. And stretch it. He has a whole other kind of way of doing math, doesn't he? I tell people all the time, I don't know how I give money and then end up getting more money when I didn't have a whole lot of money.
That's right.
That doesn't make sense. I had so much bread in my cabinet, I know it. But by the end of the week, the saints would come around and say, baby, let me give you a pie. Let me get you, you need some greens, what you need? You need some chicken? I got you.
Yeah.
I didn't see how that was going to happen before.
Yeah.
But God has a way of stretching it. Huh? Stretching it, making it work. Huh? How many people have not been eating? Nobody's raising their hand. How many people are here millionaires? Nobody's raising their hand. How are you making it? God. Period. The end. Got a job? Don't have a job? Don't matter. God. I'm a living witness. I know it to be true. Amen? I know it to be true. They were witnesses. They saw. They saw. What happened? We have been witnesses to what God has done with us. We have seen with our own eyes. We know that God is a way maker. We know that God is a healer. Huh? We know that God raises things from the dead. Remember Lazarus? He was showing up there. Jesus said, we ain't gonna go just yet. We're gonna wait a little bit. Jesus said, where is Lazarus? Where have you laid him? Put him in a tomb. Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, he's going to get up. Yeah, I know. At the last day when everything is going to be cool. No, chick. Don't you know I'm the resurrection? I am the resurrection. And he spoke to Lazarus and told Lazarus to come forth. Now, I want to show you something here. Because this is pivotal. This is key. There are verses that explain that at one point in time, the Pharisees and them had a meeting about Lazarus. Because Lazarus was drawing too many disciples because of the miracle of him being raised from the dead. Right? And the Pharisees decided what we need to do is we need to kill Lazarus. So let me get this straight. He going to be dead again? He's not your problem. Because as long as Jesus is around, as long as Jesus is on the throne, as long as Jesus can do anything he wants to, as long as Jesus is the master of the universe, you got to deal with Jesus. Don't killing Lazarus again. What you going to do, scare Lazarus? Lazarus, they come to get you. To do what? Kill you. I've already been through that. What you going to do? I got Jesus. I ain't afraid of him. I was dead in my grave. I didn't know how I was going to make it. And Jesus raised me from the dead.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Anybody had some situations that look dead?
Oh, yes.
Anybody had some things? Can I be honest with you? Can I testify?
Yes.
My marriage was dead. It ain't now. Oh, it's already cracking now, y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember when you were there. It was shown up then. Sister Brenda said it showed up. But look at God.
Look at God.
Look at God. Here's my point. We witnesses. We got witnesses up in here. We know what God can do. You want us to shut up about that? You see my point? You see my point? You want us to shut up?
Huh?
Now, let me show you something. I'm trying to tell somebody up in here God can do anything he wants to do. I'm trying to tell you that. Raise your faith level. Come on. But let me tell you, you can't do it until you face the facts. We can run our amateur church. We can buy a Hammond organ, get somebody, you know, really, really churchified to play it. And get all emotional and stuff like that. But until we settle down and look at... Stop. Until you stop and look and take it in, you will not grow. You will not grow. You will not grow. Now, the Pharisees tried to suppress Lazarus and the miracle with Lazarus. The Pharisees tried to suppress the resurrection, saying he didn't get up. You know, I saw a movie this week. They got these scientists that keep finding dinosaur bones. And they're finding them everywhere. It's just like, we got just dinosaurs everywhere. We can find dinosaur bones. And they have all these ideas of how old they are and blah, blah, blah. And of course, and they're saying, you know, there's dinosaurs everywhere. And they are proving certain things. But here's the point. You can dig up dinosaurs but can't find Jesus.
You got a
point. You found millions of dinosaurs. But I said, I keep saying it because the whole of Christianity hangs on this one point. He got up. He said he was God. And he said, I'll prove it to you. In 3 days, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be having fish on some lake somewhere with the disciples. We were eating breakfast. And I'm telling you, I'm not dead. You can't hold me in this grave. So my point is this. If they can find all these things, they still can't find the body of Jesus. And yet, with all that proof, the Pharisees still didn't believe. Some of them did, but some of them didn't. Overwhelming evidence here. What's the problem? So let's go into it. Let's get into it. If you back up just a little bit to the 24th verse, you will see that Acts 5, 24. You see it? There you go. 24. If not, I'll just read it. You don't see it? Okay. In your Bibles, are you certain? Yeah, there you go. Aha. Praise the Lord. Watch this, people. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, what did they hear? That they were no longer in jail. They were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. And then, right at that point in time, someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. Now, are you taking this in? We don't want to believe in Jesus. We don't want to believe that he's Messiah. We don't want to believe that he raised the dead. We don't want to believe that there's angels. The Bible said, as I preached it just before, the angel came and let them out. Okay? And then they also said this. They let the disciples out. The bars were still intact. The master key lock was still intact. And the guards who were posted were still intact. And they sent for them and said, go get those disciples, those followers of Jesus, so we can go ahead and persecute them and ask them more questions. Okay? About why you're not obeying us. Now, I want you to see something very interesting. I want you to see something very interesting. When they got there, they said, verse 28. You see it? Okay? No, verse 27. Here we go. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. And verse 28 says this, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. He said, instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. I have a problem here. You're questioning the disciples about why they didn't listen to you. Are we missing something here? You never address the issue of how you get out of jail.
We never even talked about it. Wait, we put you in jail. The men that you were looking for, that you sent to go get so we can confront you, are outside preaching, and we never, ever mentioned the fact that you walked through bars with nobody noticing. With the guards like, I don't know where they went. I don't know what happened. Does that make any sense? They were in a common cell. All the locks are in place. Everything is still there. And you don't want to even talk about the fact that we got out of jail. The jail is still standing. It's not broke down. There's nothing. That's kind of weird, don't you think? Let's go back even further. The lame man who was sitting at the temple, remember? He couldn't walk for years. He never walked a day in his life. He's over 40 years old. He's sitting there begging every day. One day, the apostles come by. The apostles are there. There's a lame man there. And then suddenly, because the apostles are in the area, you don't know what happened. But he's up walking. No, he's leaping. No, he's in the temple doing this. And you want to say, didn't we tell, who gave you the authority? Don't you know that we're the bosses? If you're going to do any miracles here, you got to come through. What kind of? What's happening? I don't want to take it in. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to see it. What's happening? Now, watch this. The Pharisees, let's go back a little bit further. And Pharaoh over Egypt are kind of similar. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Okay. The Pharisees and Pharaoh are kind of similar. Why didn't Pharaoh let the people go and worship the one true God? He experienced plague after plague. Miracle after miracle. Obvious signs that you ain't running this. Amen. You got the plague of frogs. Yesterday when we were at our home, we didn't have a lot of frogs everywhere. You told Moses no that you were not going to obey God. Moses said there's going to be frogs. Today I wake up, there's frogs in my vacuum cleaner, there's frogs in my mint coat, there's frogs in the oven, there's frogs in the dishes, there's frogs everywhere. Gnats! There's a plague of gnats. Go back to Pharaoh, tell him again. Let my people go. No, I will not let the people go. You ever had one gnat in your face? That is the most persistent creature of God. If I wanted to get on somebody's nerves, I wish I could turn into a gnat. Because nobody, and then they quit, too. You can't hit me, they're right back in your face. They're the most irritating thing. Could you imagine a cloud of gnats? That's what Egypt was experiencing. Why? You told God no. Then he sent flies. Every time you tell me no, Pharaoh, I'm going to do some incredible miracle sign because you're resisting. Then he sent the destruction of cattle. Okay, and then when I looked it up, what happened is the scripture says that it wasn't just, you know, oxen, bulls, and stuff like that. He killed up cats, dogs, everything that had flesh was just dying. Horses, everything is dying. Nothing's happening to Israel. But it's all over the whole entire land of Egypt, but Israel is safe from all the plagues. It's only happening to the folks that refuse to see God. Isn't that interesting? This is actually factual. These things we can look up. We can see. Historians wrote about this. There were witnesses to these things. Amen? There was, you know, hail. You know, he took big ice cubes and just started throwing it at people. And, you know, does God miss? I mean, think about it. This is horrible. Now, at this point, I got to bring this up. Just let me go through this. Be patient with me. At this point, some of Pharaoh's officials said, you know, this is not going well. Our economy is tanking. You know, he's killing everybody. And God said, at this point, at this juncture, very interesting fact. He said, listen, I'm going to do this for the whole entire land. If anybody decides to listen to me and get shelter from the hailstorm that's coming, you will be saved. Well, what happened? God threw the hail. It not only tore up the people and hit people in the head, it actually was tearing up the trees. You know, the vegetation, everything is being destroyed. And some Egyptians was like, we're going to go and hide in this cave. Because Pharaoh, I don't think he's really listening to reason here. There's some very obvious things that even we can see. Okay? We are getting the clue. I don't know what's wrong with Pharaoh. Oh, great Pharaoh. Listen, let's talk about this. It's not going well. Then there was another plague of darkness where it was dark for 3 days. So dark that nobody could move for 3 days. Could you imagine if we were sitting up in this church for 3 days? Not being able to move? Everybody clutching their purse because you don't trust everybody? Everybody ain't saved?
Yeah, right. That's the truth.
It's going to be over in a minute. Think about it. There are witnesses to these stories, people. There are witnesses to these stories. Here's the point. We can see obvious things that God has done. But, and I'm heading somewhere, for some strange reason, we don't take it in. What is that about? It's obvious. But we refuse to accept it. Now, Pharaoh was a special case. And I want to just bring this to light real quick. Exodus 10, 1 and 2. Yes. Then the Lord said to Moses, return to Pharaoh and make your demands again. Notice this. I have made him and his officials stubborn so I can display my miraculous signs among them. He hardened his heart, right? But notice what he said. I made them stubborn so I can display my miraculous signs among them. I've also done it so you can tell your children, woo-hoo-hoo, and grandchildren about how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and about, watch this, the signs of these things. The signs I displayed among them. What's the purpose? So you will know that I am the Lord. The miracles were there for the generations to know. So they would pass down the truth, the facts, the historical events of what God has done to the next generation, to our children. Are we passing these things down to our children? I don't know. What's wrong with this generation? Are we telling them what actually happened? Are we being the witness even in our own house? Are we being intentional about teaching our children? What happened to my baby? Were you intentional? Was this a regular practice? Were you just being passive? Sent them off to the devil to get a degree? And expect them to come back saved? When you didn't tell them anything? You didn't put the truth in them on a day-by-day basis? You didn't Deuteronomy 6 them? When we speak about these things, when you go, when you come back, when you sleep, when you're all, you know what I'm saying? Over the dinner table, the breakfast table, the lunch table. Listen, while we're here, let's talk about Jesus. But you expect it? When they went to college, they were just going to come back with their hands raised? Is that what you expected? Some of us are getting a real rude awakening right now, what we did not do. Single moms. Parents that are still together. Doesn't make a difference. Pass it down. You are the witness. Come on. It's intentional time. Amen. We're losing a whole generation because we just took it lightly. Let's be real. Watch this, people. Scholars say that Jesus fulfilled over 4,000 prophecies that were written 3 or 4 centuries before his birth. Wow. The prophet Isaiah wrote about him 800 years before his birth. Moses even wrote about him. How many years was that? The chances of Jesus fulfilling over 4 dozen prophecies are 1 in a trillion.
Wow.
Do we believe who he is? Have we taken a good look? Huh? I'm bringing home now. Almost done. Hebrews 2, 1 and 4. Oh, I love this. Let's go with the Amplified. He gets through talking about Jesus being greater than the angels. Okay? And the writer of Hebrews shifts to something that's so significant. For this reason, that is, because of God's final revelation in his Son, Jesus, and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things. There it is again. There it is again. To these things that we have heard, so that we do not in any way, what? Drift from the truth, people. This is intentionality here. Amen? For if the message given through the angels, meaning the law given to Moses, was authentic and unalterable, in every violation and disobedient act received an appropriate penalty, how will we escape the penalty if we ignore, neglect, don't take seriously, what? Such a great salvation. What is that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. So if those who broke the law of Moses were punished, what will be the fate of those who neglect the gospel? Whoa! By the law is the knowledge of sin. But by the gospel is the knowledge of salvation. You ain't going to be saved if you don't take seriously what we've heard, what we've seen, what is obvious. Then watch this. For it was spoken at first by who? The Lord. Jesus Christ said it first. And then it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who, here we go, personally heard. There's the witnesses. Personally heard him speak. And besides, this evidence, meaning on top of that, God also testifying with him, how? Confirming the message of salvation? What? Both by signs and wonders and various miracles. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. You seen it? You seen it? Wondrous miracles, Wonders and various miracles carried out by Jesus and the apostles, and by granting to believers the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his will. So Jesus did miracles. The apostles were given the ability to do miracles. We got miracles all through the Bible. We got all these events. We got all these things that line up with history. We got all this proof. But have we looked at it? All right, so here's where we're going. These things are what they saw in their and they witnessed with their own eyes. They were witnesses of the shown of true facts that are in the Bible. Amen? But what about the things that God has done for us? We are witnesses. Why are we being quiet about it? What is threatening us to where we don't speak up and become a witness? Do we believe the written accounts of the witnesses found in the Bible? Or are they just stories? Do we believe what God has allowed us to witness in our own lives? Or are they just stories and some kind of coincidence? It just kind of happened. No. Are these things, the events that have taken place in the Word of God, and the things that we've experienced, with God? Are they just coincidences? Are they just things without meaning or any significance? Do they just happen and we just let them go by? Can we not see the obvious? Are we like the Pharisees? Are we like Pharaoh, where God does something and we take no notice of it? We don't really believe. It's just, whatever, you know. Are we looking at the evidence in the Word of God for who He says He is? Young people, are we taking a real look at Jesus? Huh? Are we prejudiced against obvious evidence? Think of it. People don't give their lives like the apostles for fake news. These guys were martyred. They were killed for what they believed. They would not go to that extent if it wasn't true. How has the body of Christ been sustained from the time that Jesus came to the apostles, that was when all the word that was spoken, all the word that was passed down? How are we sitting here today if it's not true? There were witnesses. Huh? Why don't we want to believe? What's the reason why we don't want to believe? I'll tell you what it is. If we ever took the time to prove the scriptures, to step away from the distractions of our day, and really ponder on who God is, on what the Bible says about Jesus, about when we got here and how that all happened, about creation, then we will know that every word in this book is true. Amen. And then we will be faced with a decision that some of us don't want to make. Because after believing in the truth, the next step is obeying the truth. And that's where the rubber meets the road. If this Jesus is really God, and I am not in Christ Jesus, then I'm in trouble. I'm in rebellion against Him. Some people don't want to do that. If the truth of God's word is received, not just looked at and like, oh, that was interesting. If the truth of God's word is received, then the fact that we are accountable to God for our very lives is an inevitable truth. And some people don't want to face that truth. I'm going to quote this and I'll be done. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way. I like a lot of old guys. Because some of these new guys, I think they're smarter than God in their own mind. So I don't really listen to a lot of them. You think about some of the new stuff that's coming out, and a lot of folks are saying is this whimsical theology. A lot of folks have. A lot of it is, it makes me feel too good about me and what I want to do. Some of these old guys say, it ain't about that. It's about glorifying God. And we need to get back to that. Amen? So Martin Lloyd-Jones, an old English teacher, said this. The simple question is this. When it comes to these facts, these historical events, what do they really mean to you? You must come to some decision about them. You cannot get rid of them. They are the sole explanation of the origin and the continuance of the Christian church. This is the Christian message. This alone explains the saints of the centuries and the dynamic power of the gospel. He asked a question. Have we ever looked at it? Can you not see the madness of the Pharisees, the blindness of the Sadducees, the prejudice of the council members? Can you not see the craziness of the Sanhedrin? Ask God by His Spirit to remove your prejudice and give you new life, new understanding, new power, and make you a living witness to the truth of, and he said right here, these things and the wonders of God's grace. Lastly, could it be that the apostles, the believers, the disciples of that day, were living witnesses in the sense that they were ultimately willing to die for what they believed. They were chosen to die like Christ. They were chosen to die to this world. If we are going to be a witness, we can't just speak about Jesus. You have to ask yourself, what does God want me to die to? Because when my life becomes a testimony, then I'm really being a witness.
That's right.
Jesus was alive in me while I was here. Really? What's the proof? Did you see how I lived? While I was on earth, I was his testimony. Will that be said about us? My God. When they speak of you when you leave here. I go to funerals sometimes and I see the, you know, people faking it and going, yeah, he was great. And the other people are like, We'll see him in heaven. And some folks going,
oh, no.
I don't know, maybe. That's a hard truth, but here's the issue, people. While you were on earth, did you die like Christ died? Are you a testimony? Are you a witness? Ooh. When it's all said and done, will it be just that they would say that we attended church? Or will it be said that we died for the sake of Christ? We live for him. But I also believe that to get to that level, and we all need to grow. To get to that level, we're going to have to turn the organ down a little bit. There's nothing wrong with high praise. But I believe that we're going to have to really, really investigate. Give me that Luke chapter again. Luke 1:1. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to have to, it's up at the top. Luke 1:1 and 2. You see it? We're going to have to investigate the truth. We have undertaken to compile an orderly account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, exactly as they were handed down to us by those with personal experience from the beginning of Christ's ministry, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. That is, of the teaching concerning salvation, faith in Christ. Give me Acts 1:1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. I think it's Acts 1:1 and 2. I think that's what it is. Or 3 and 4. I think it's on the next one. Luke 1 and 2. There we go. Yes, there it is. There. It seemed fitting for me as well. And so I have decided, after carefully searching out, you see that? Carefully, and investigated all the events accurately from the very beginning, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. What have we been taught? The history and the doctrine of faith. My faith can't rest on a feeling, people. My faith can't rest on what Tremaine told me, people. My faith can't rest on what Bishop Hawkins taught me. I got to know for myself. Because when the problems come, the first thing the enemy wants to do is he assaults your faith. It's sent to test you. But when you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is real, you can stand no matter what you're dealing with.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us will be picked off because we're not carefully investigating.
Yeah.
Let me really look at this and see what really happened. Let me take a good look at who Jesus really is. Wait a minute, this stuff is true.
Oh, yeah.
Historians said the same thing and they're not even saved.
Well,
Are you kidding me?
Glory.
That's how we stand. See, when I became a pastor, I entered in a very interesting time. I entered in a time where it was a certain regime that was dying on. A certain way of doing things was now over.
That's right. That's right.
I was like, oh, you can't get away with that no more. No, you can't. We can't just say this. No. Now we got to prove it. These young folks was like, I haven't seen church folks. And what we're doing is we're running around giving them these verses in the Bible, stuff like that, and trying to explain to them about Christianity with this idea that they have this presupposed supposition of the truth. They don't. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. They don't know what they were here for. There's no connection to the Judeo-Christian values anymore. So you got to start from scratch what you think you're here for. You got to take them through the Word. So now what has to happen in TLC is we have to become what we call apologists. People who can defend the faith. Because it ain't enough to just say, well, Jesus said it.
No.
That may be my personal testimony. That may be what I believe. But this younger generation, they're not hearing that. It's obvious. There's a secularism that we're dealing with right now that we've never seen before. There's another era that we're in right now. People are not believing. Why? I tell you why. Because we've dropped the truth.
Right.
We're not giving you the truth no more. We're giving you life circumstance gospel.
Yeah. That's
where we make you feel good about what you're going through.
Yeah.
But we don't tell you, like, no matter what you're going through, you're still accountable to God. That's the truth. And here's the proof. And it's all there right in the Word. Carefully investigate, search. Look, I don't have time for that, Pastor. I gotta get my nails done. What?
No, that's not important.
This is a girl I'm really trying to date. What? You know, I gotta be at work. You don't have time for that? You got time for everything else you wanna do? You got time for that trouble you shouldn't have been in? That's the real truth.
That's the real truth.
Huh? Come on, stand with me. Heavy message.
Yeah. Good message.
But it's the truth.